This is why I need a lounging couch.
Yeah, because you want a nap.
If I could get a 25-minute nap, I'd be golden.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Have you rested since you have returned from the annual meeting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we came in and did some chores immediately after.
Right. And
then took a couple hours off and we're back at it, right?
Some took a couple of hours off. Others did not.
I did.
I thought it was a successful week.
Great annual meeting this year.
I really did.
Heard a lot of good comments.
I really enjoyed our live podcast. If you haven't listened, take a listen. Last week's podcast, we podcasted live from the annual meeting and we had a live studio audience, which really, that comes like a hair's breadth from me getting live callers.
It was a good crowd.
It was a great crowd.
Lively crowd for late in the afternoon.
We had the triumvirate, the trinity of our original listeners. It was in the morning,
actually.
My bad. Well, by Saturday, we don't, Saturday, I don't even know if it's AM or PM.
Right.
We're just there, right?
Yes.
So don't forget to listen to that episode. I think you'll really enjoy it. We kind of talk about what you did the week before annual meeting, traveling to the Southern Legislative Conference and to National League of Cities staff meeting.
Well, what we didn't record was how our podcast has come about and evolved over the years.
Right.
And as a, if this is something you wanted to get into, then here's how you do it.
So
you'll just have to come back next year to annual meeting when we do it again, right?
Obviously. In Greenville.
That'll be fun.
Same time, same place.
Although I do want to do some person in the lobby interviews next year.
You liked that year before when we did it in Charleston. We were just grabbing people right and left.
We intended to do that this year, but you were Chris Singleton's body person.
Precisely.
So
I had to make sure my friend was not bombarded. He was getting completely overwhelmed with all the people that wanted to take his picture and buy his book. And
then our schedules just didn't mesh.
They didn't.
After that.
Well, you know, what we did last year, we were very intentional about scheduling time to do that. So we need to make sure, we need to make a note.
Hopefully next year we'll get
Mr. Producer, make a note.
Hopefully next year we'll get a sneak peek at the staff scheduling before
we're going to have to
chiseled into stone.
We're going to have to share our desire to have an opportunity to just grab people and, ask them some questions.
Right.
Part of the annual meeting was the Mayor's Forum. We have a Mayor's Forum breakout session at Hometown Legislative Action Day and annual meeting for only mayors to get together. It's sponsored by the Association of South Carolina Mayors.
Ask them.
Nope. That's not it.
That's how we refer to it internally.
It's not at all. Nobody refers to it as Ask Them But You.
Okay.
It's the Association of South Carolina Mayors. We say the whole thing. And
Miriam Hare just felt a disturbance in the force when I said that.
Listen, when you can't say the acronym, you cannot pronounce it like it looks for a number of reasons of our acronyms. So we had the guest speaker at the Mayor's Forum. And, Scott, let me take a detour real quick from explaining this. I'll get back to it. Our president, Rick Osbon, at the annual meeting, for any of our listeners who are not part of the Municipal Association, at our annual meeting is when our presidents, our board members switch over.
Right.
Our officers are elected and board members are elected. And our president, Mayor Rick Osbon, his term came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And a new president was elected, Mayor Barbara Blaine Bellamy from the city of Conway.
Yes.
If it's October, it's the city of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
But my trivia question today it's a little bit of a shout out to Mayor Rick Osbon from the great city of Aiken.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
The city of Aiken seal features a quartered shield with four images on it. What are those images, Scott? Don't answer it right now. I know you're dying to. I know you're. The answer's on the tip of your tongue.
I think you
It has
finally,
a quartered shield with four images on it.
Mr. Producer, I think you have finally just gone to the furthest lengths of the state to find something that I might not be able to answer.
You know, I really like, Mr. Producer, we're going to get on this kick of questions about city seals.
That's no,
because we are going to stump Scott
Well,
Flat.
you definitely have stumped me with this one. I will make some educated guesses.
Make some mental notes. Just think about the city of Aiken. I will use
context to try and answer the question, but I can tell you now I will fail.
Context clues. So anyway, let's go back to the mayor's forum. We have the Association of South Carolina Mayors sponsors a mayor's forum for everybody to get together, the mayors, and talk and network and share ideas and share, just share thoughts and ask questions and get together. And we always have a speaker. Well, this year in Greenville, the speaker was Senator Ross Turner. He's a Republican senator from Greenville County, and he has been
the Golden Strip.
The Golden Strip. He's been in office since 2013. He was elected in 2012 and sworn in 2013. And he so graciously came early and gave us a little bit of time on the podcast. And let me just say, I'm going to give Senator Ross Turner the award because he is the first legislator that we have had on the show. The first of many, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so, too.
The first of many, I hope. So I want to share the interview.
Who may not always share our views and position.
Absolutely. But
on
was it
issues.
But was so I think the world of Ross Turner. I think he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I think he gives you his opinion in a nice and civil way, even though it may not be the same. I think he's the perfect example of, you know, he may not agree, but that's okay.
Senator Turner is a quiet leader in the Senate, I think, in the Republican caucus. He's not out front. He's not a arm-waving hysteric.
Right. It's not fire and brimstone.
Yeah,
it's very quiet.
Yeah. But people listen to what he says, and they are interested in his point of view on issues, and I think that is to me a sign of leadership, whether it's acknowledged or not.
Agreed. Well, let's take a listen to Ross's interview, and then we'll come back on the other side. Everybody, we are live on location. We're not really live because this is taped, and it'll run at a different time.
It's recorded. It's not taped anymore. Nobody uses tape anymore.
Oh, I just stopped.
It's just
the tape.
A colloquialism,
right? I just stopped the tape. Record
it. It's a digital recorder.
My parents will still say, are you going to develop those? And I'm like, well, Mama, it's on your phone, so I'm going to develop it. But we have a very, very special guest. We are in the city of Greenville for annual meeting, and we have with us today the senator from the city of Greenville, Senator Ross Turner. Ross, please welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, and welcome to Greenville.
I know. Gosh, it's my children's favorite place.
Really?
Yes. Gosh, they love it so much. They're here.
It's amazing you have a place to go in South Carolina away from the coast in July.
Yes.
It is wonderful.
Yeah. Aren't we 15 degrees cooler here?
Definitely than Columbia.
Yeah, definitely.
Cooler, no doubt about that.
No doubt about that. Andy is actually here with the kids.
Yes.
They demanded it.
Really?
So he came, he brought them up, and they've been exploring the city and having a great time.
Well, I hope we don't disappoint.
And this is a particular honor and occasion because, Senator, you're our first legislator on our podcast.
Yeah.
We've been podcasting for a while.
Yes.
And we've been wanting to get legislators on. And since you're here to talk to the mayors at annual meeting, we thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to get some time with you. So congratulations on being the inaugural legislator.
We're going to have to update the General Assembly website.
Oh, I need to go back and update my profile.
This award, and the first legislator on From the Dome to Your Home podcast.
Exactly.
Huge deal. It's a huge award.
Yes. All right. Let's talk.
Okay. Senator, you were elected in 2013.
Right.
When you were sitting around thinking, I think I want to run for Senate. First of all, what were you thinking? Tell me what led to that choice.
My typical answer, it was a very weak moment and too many beers.
Right.
But that, But it was one of those things coming out of the recession and everything. Yeah. I'm in the insurance business, small business guy. We survived that, but I saw so many clients that didn't survive it, and yet mm-hmm. I saw what the legislature was doing, was seeming to be putting everything, all the burden back on the businesses mm-hmm. that had just suffered through all of this. And so it didn't make sense to me, and so I started talking about it, and that's the bad thing is once you start talking about it, people say, well, you should run.
Right, yeah.
Well, you should run, and yeah. I said, well, I can't run. There's no way I can run. So anyway, long story short, I ran. We were in a five-way race against 28-year incumbent. Then there was three others. One of those was Joe Swan, a current Clemson Board of Trustees.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was me and Joe Swan got to the runoff. I won by a whopping 35 overwhelming votes. And
wow.
Every yes, vote counts.
Every wow. vote we counts, and I can assure you God. It was all the people in my office calling people saying, and they were saying, I voted, and they said, no, you haven't.
Right.
And they were going, how do you know? So we were guilting people in, but yes, I ended up winning. So overwhelming mandate showed up. First time I ever walked in the South Carolina Senate was the first day I was in it.
How about that?
So it was it was totally, I had no clue. I had a lot of, preconceived notions of what it was going to be. Ended up coming in with a new class of like 8 or 9, which was crazy because I was the 45th senator, thanks to Tom Young, who was 46.
Right.
But
that's because of alphabetical,
right? And seniority else.
Within
and
the
so,
yeah, alphabet within seniority.
But you know, you're 45th. Now I think I'm 24th. And really, that's only 11 years. There's a lot more turnover than people actually think there is.
Thomas McElveen pointed that out to us a while back, a number of years ago.
Well, McElveen, he's probably like in the teens.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah,
because he's an M. I know Carl Allen right. is like right there at
and
the front
you,
of our class.
Your Senator Shealy was in your
Senator
class,
Shealy.
Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Paul Thurman was.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, Senator
was,
Thurman.
He was great. That was my suite mate for a little, or not my desk mate for a little while. Yeah, my first suite mate was Clem Pinckney.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
yep.
So that was my suite mate and desk mate.
Yep.
And we sat next to each other. So that was a cool experience. And so JaVale, our assistant, is still my assistant.
Oh.
So that's worked out great.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What, Senator, what, since 2013, how have you seen things change? I mean, I know you work with everybody on legislation. And how have you seen things shift or has there been a shift in the General Assembly or the Senate?
You know, we were, when I got elected in 2012, I was not a part of the Tea Party swell that was
right.
coming out
mm-hmm.
then, but there was a Tea Party swell
sure.
then, same thing that I think we see now somewhat in the House.
Right. With the Freedom Caucus.
With the Freedom Caucus. Yep. And mm-hmm. are we going to have that again
right.
after these elections?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that's kind of that same temperature of society out there now. I don't know that I'll be here next year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, you don't know what you hope is what I saw because we came in and we had the William Wallace Caucus.
I was going to say.
Right.
I was
we had the William
that
Wallace
was like
Caucus.
That was the
And so that was kind of like the Freedom Caucus
yeah.
before
right.
it was freedom.
It was
even
cool.
though I said, well, you do know William Wallace was a socialist,
right.
and that maybe Francis Marion Caucus might have been a better
right.
name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, they didn't invite me. So,
well, that's sad.
It was,
I remember, yeah, and William Wallace just kind of. I think the senators who were made up the William Wallace Caucus as they got some seniority
yeah.
and. I hate to use this word, matured, if
As
you
I
will.
As I say, they got on finance.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That always yeah. helps, doesn't
exactly.
it? Yes.
It and they started getting stuff.
Get
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah. There's a pattern there.
Like, calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
But
everybody kind of
You know, and it does take a little while to realize, too, that everybody's out there, down there, is not out to get the next.
Right.
You know, and everybody's yes. got the best intentions in their mind yeah. for the most part. And so once you realize that, I think you lose a little bit of that venom.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. you realize it actually is in pretty good hands.
Yeah. And if I want to get something done, I can't go in there and throw bombs
That's right.
all the time
That's
and,
right.
And anger my colleagues.
That's
right.
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 Yeah. That's
yeah.
right. No, I have to tell a lot of people, I said, you just got to back off a little bit.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I said, people get it. But you being too much pressure is not good.
Right, right.
You know, everybody will back themselves in a corner and all of a sudden you can't win.
So how is it different now than it was when you first came in?
I think for the most part, you haven't. I think for the most part, everybody. I mean, we are not a supermajority. We're closer to a supermajority in the Republican side, but that I still believe that it's a full Senate votes.
Yes.
You know, for the most part, and I still believe that we do come to compromise on a lot of things, even sometimes we don't have to.
Right.
And I think that's what you have to do for South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I agree. I think the Senate is probably not nearly as volatile, swinging one way or the other. Right. It's just because of the institution and how much more collegial it seems to be. Fewer numbers.
Right.
And I think it's easier to understand that you've got to work and compromise, and that's how things get done in the Senate, as opposed to sometimes in the House where it's just everybody fighting it out.
And I'm not one of the I mean, because in the end, most people out there don't know. Half my people that even donate to me don't even know whether I'm in the Senate or the House.
Right. Yeah.
So
I'm saying
when we can't get something done, it's the whole legislature. So I'm not one to throw the House under the You know, and I think Merle had. I mean, when he took over this year, he's had incredible hurdles to overcome.
Yes.
And in the end, we have an incredible budget. They came through those, and I think he'll be better in his second year. And I think Bannister will be even better in the second year as Ways and Means. I mean, it does take a little learning. That was by the fire hose, I think, for them. But
no matter how much experience you have, once you get in charge, it's different.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game.
Right?
It's a different ball game.
It's a whole different ball game, which is nice being a TU because I don't have a committee chairmanship yet. So I just get to sit back and I serve as subcommittee chairman on a lot of things. But in the end, you don't have to sit there and take a lot of the missiles right up front.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's exactly right.
Well, tell us, Senator, real quickly, and we don't want to take up too much of your time before we get started with the meeting, but tell us about your philosophy and relationship with the cities and towns here in your district. And, you know, what's your relationship like with them? What do you like about local government? What do you think we could do a better job at to keep you guys from necessarily having to step in if you see a problem?
Sure. No, it's a and what do I think they think about me or what? But you go from, I do represent a good bit of Greenville. It's not downtown Greenville,
right.
But a good bit of the residential area in Greenville, and then go Malden, Simpsonville, Fountain Inn, the Golden Strip.
That's right.
And so you go from Greenville, who has different needs, and Malden and Simpsonville, but what's incredible is Malden, I think, was like the 10th largest city in the state, population wise. So you're still dealing with a huge city. You've got Simpsonville, Fountain Inn that are going to blow up and are blowing up now.
Yes.
I mean, Fountain Inn has always called themselves the diamond tip of the Golden Strip.
Yeah.
But they are becoming that because they're close to Lawrence County and their downtown has redeveloped itself. Mm-hmm. The same as Simpsonville.
Yeah.
Totally redeveloping. And they're creating, you know, you don't compare your, I don't want to compare us to Atlanta and Charlotte because I don't want to be either one of those. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you see from a bigger downtown, just like Greenville, and it's probably going on in Charleston and other places, all of a sudden you end up having little niches outside of downtown that most local people go to. And for the most part, on the weekends, this is all visitors downtown in Greenville.
Yeah.
And it's so you're going to end up having your little South Park like Charlotte does away from downtown. Mm-hmm. You're going to have little places like that, and Simpsonville and all these areas are figuring that out, and they're developing their own areas to keep their people at home.
Yes.
And so it's really kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, we've enjoyed watching those cities evolve over the years, and Fountain Inn especially is really starting to hit its stride for sure.
No, GP's done an incredible job at Mayor, and it was led before that by Mayor Long.
Yep.
And
I
mean, they really started it back even before a lot of people down there had that vision.
Yep.
And now they've got their own high school, and it's going to blow up even more.
It's amazing.
Senator, what can our people do? What is the key thing that our mayors and council members and our city staff can do to keep you informed of what's going on? You know, how can they help you do a better job?
You know, I can tell you what my mayors do, and that's what helped is helpful, and that's just stay in communication.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we have going on. Mm-hmm. This is what we have going on this past year, especially at budget time. I mean, right. Let's be real. It's all about the money.
Right.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time.
And so it was one of those things that we all of a sudden had money to be able to do things that could benefit local partners.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, if that communication starts earlier than later,
yes,
then it's always helpful.
Yes.
You know,
like you want to know them.
That's right. And if I can't, if we can't, that's right. And if we can't fulfill it at the time you need it, that's fine. But don't all of a sudden realize, well, he got this. I'm going to ask for this.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Go ahead and ask for what you want and what you know.
Yes. And do it way ahead of time.
And do it way ahead of time.
Don't
so we have
until,
it on the radar.
Yeah. Don't wait until session starts in January to say, we could really use this for this project.
And listener, we did not hand that script to Cinder Turner.
No, we did not.
He said that on his own.
We did not feed him that line.
You know, we say the exact same things to our folks. We give them the same advice. But I think it probably has a bit more credibility coming from a legislator than us sometimes.
So. And just know in the Senate, and I think it's somewhat the same in the House, but we passed a couple of years ago that we've got to put our name on any earmark we ask for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when you ask for something, just know that for me to ask for it, I'm willing to put my name out there that I got it for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and
100%.
That's so it's got to be something that neither one of us are going to be embarrassed by. And that's good for the constituent, not just the inside politics.
100%.
So,
very much so.
So I appreciate that process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Senator, thank you.
Thank you.
You are, I mean, the first one. I didn't even realize
well,
that. We're going to do some sort of special
well,
award for Senator Turner.
I hope it's downhill after this.
Obviously. Nobody's going to be as good. Now, I hope that is the first of many.
Sure. Yeah. I know. We intend to.
I mean, I would love, and I really like having legislators, you know, of course, that agree with and that support cities and towns. I think every legislator supports cities and towns. I don't think that's a good representation. They just don't necessarily agree with some of the things that cities and towns do. Is that, do you think that's a good representation?
Yeah. I think most legislators support their cities and towns at the micro level, but when we get up to the macro level and large scale policy issues, then they diverge some,
maybe a little bit into politics,
instead
of government,
precisely
government policy.
We get away from policy and then wade into the politics of an issue, and it's there where they diverge.
Right.
But I think more often than not, for those legislators who have municipalities in their districts,
right? Not everybody does,
which many do not,
right?
Most do not, right? But for those who have cities in their districts, they are largely supportive of those cities and towns all at the micro level for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate and understand home rule. I think it's those legislators that necessarily that don't have municipalities in their districts that and have no obligation to appreciate that really. That's where we run into some tense moments sometimes.
And you know, I also think it also gets into, well, you know, I'm of this political party, so therefore I have to support this policy or I have to support this way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not coincide with what cities and towns are doing at the local level for their residents.
Right.
I mean, I think sometimes the two don't intersect. I think you get way too political and sometimes that gets in the way of saying, well, you know, this makes sense.
Right.
It may not follow this certain group's platform, but it makes sense to be able to offer affordable housing to people that work in the same, they want to work and live in the same place.
Of course.
Or there are tons of other things, but you know, that's kind of where I'm going with that. Are you smelling what I'm cooking?
Yeah. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Okay.
Now, an example of that is after our talk with Senator Turner on the show, he spoke to the mayors and was asked a question at the end of his remarks about the hate crimes bill and whether or not he supported it. What are the obstacles to getting it passed?
And in, you know, kind of following with Chris Singleton's talk and his, you know, his viewpoint,
mm-hmm.
you've got to know Senator Turner's story so you appreciate the fire behind his stance.
Right.
And how he explained it to the group was, is that he was a suite mate, an office mate, and a desk mate with Senator Clement of Pinckney. And his viewpoint, as he shared, is that he believed that the shooter, you know, Clement of Pinckney's murderer, the shooter, yes, should be dead.
Right.
He believes that if the justice system, if that person was tried in South Carolina, that he believed he would be on death row.
Right.
And he was very emotional about it because Clement of Pinckney was his friend.
And as a result, the hate crimes bill that proposes penalty enhancements,
right,
would not have been necessary.
Right.
And he, I think, genuinely believes that it is, that he said it, the state justice system has the tools in place, mm-hmm, to deal with people of that ilk and without the need for the hate crimes bill.
Right.
Or the hate crimes enhancement penalties.
And I think some people agree in the room, out of the, I believe we had about 75, 80 mayors in attendance is what, mm-hmm, we counted. I think some people agreed with him and I think some people disagreed with him.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Now, of course, the Municipal Association, one of our advocacy initiatives that is continuing forward into the next session, is the advocacy for the hate crimes bill,
right,
and getting
exactly
that passed.
Right. And the reason being, Scott, is that we have had municipalities come to us and tell us,
yes,
that they are losing out on economic development opportunities because we are one of two states that don't have a hate crimes law.
And that point was brought up to Senator Turner, mm-hmm, and he said, look, Commerce Department is as busy as it ever has been.
Right.
Which is a response that I would expect from a state level official.
Sure.
Because, you know, Governor McMaster, despite all the gloom and doom that we hear from, from one national party about how terrible the economy is,
right,
I hear exactly the opposite
right,
from Governor
that
McMaster.
South Carolina is booming.
That
and
we are busting.
Right.
So,
and let me clarify.
So that's the perspective that state level officials have. But once, if they get down to that municipal level,
right,
then they see, now, of course, our economies are doing fine, but we still are not able to maximize the opportunities that are presented to,
right,
us in some cases because of the lack of a hate crimes legislation.
And let me clarify this for our listener. Senator Turner has never and is not currently objecting to the bill.
Correct.
He has never put his name on that bill as an objection, and he is not currently objecting to it. He shared his opinion,
right,
on it.
And look, if the bill were allowed to be debated on the Senate floor,
sure,
then everybody would have the opportunity to raise their objections and make attempts to amend it and then ultimately vote for or against it.
Right.
But unfortunately, in this case, but sometimes fortunately,
right,
in other cases when
right,
it's advantageous to us, there are two senators who are holding that bill up from even getting a debate.
Right.
So
that's right.
You know,
and the Senate and the House, but the Senate, they've debated a lot of things
and passed
a lot of things that
penalty enhancement bills,
right,
laws that,
right,
are on the books,
right,
now
that are also penalty enhancements.
And but for the subject are almost exactly the same.
Right.
So, let's vote for it one way or the other. And see where the votes come out.
That's right.
But it was good that the mayors heard that different perspective.
Sure, absolutely.
It's good that the ones who agree with Senator Turner got someone in front of them that agreed with them.
Right.
Which, you know, sometimes we as an advocacy group, because of the initiatives that our board of directors endorses, could, mm-hmm, they could accuse us of saying, well, you're not giving all the perspectives that,
right,
you should, that this was one of those opportunities that we had to put a different perspective from the association's board of directors in front of the membership.
That's exactly right.
And it's educational for those who disagree with Senator Turner and,
sure,
others on this issue and whatever else.
And also, I think it's a really good example of how we might disagree on policy. We might disagree on this one policy, but we can also work together on other things that we do agree on.
Oh, 100%.
And that it was done in a nice way. Well, I mean, it wasn't, you know, I'm going to take everybody down. I'm going to make sure this never passes. It was just a, here is my story, and then I'm going to tell you why I believe that.
Well, I'll give you an example where Senator Turner was helpful to us this past session, and okay. that was in a situation where the State Aeronautics Commission was proposing to change some of its procedures with regard to approving developments within airport landing areas, airport perimeters. And we, along with other organizations, went to a number of legislators, including Senator Turner, and mm-hmm. said, hey, we need to slow this roll
right.
And take some time and study it a little bit more closely. And he was instrumental in making sure that we stopped the change that was being proposed by mm-hmm. the Aeronautics Commission so that everyone could have the opportunity to sit down at the table and work out some compromise language. So kudos to him. That's
Absolutely.
An issue where, like we often talk about, Casey, mm-hmm. our friend today could be on the opposite side of us tomorrow, but that's just the way it works in this business.
You know what? You know, I mean, I've said this to our groups that we teach about grassroots advocacy and all that stuff before. And Mr. Producer, I won't say the bad word, but you know, the toes that you step on today might mm-hmm. be connected to the butt you have to kiss tomorrow.
The fanny.
Right.
Yes. That's right.
So you might be working together one day on one issue, and the next day you're not. It's yeah. not personal. It's just business.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
But this, you know, Senator Turner was very passionate about it and very honest. And I really appreciate
yes.
that. I really do.
Very much so. And
yep.
for anybody who thinks, oh, well, he's just playing politics. No, I mean, his relationship with Clem Pinckney
right.
Was genuine and
Absolutely.
Allows him to understand all sides of mm-hmm. the issue. So,
and he still, he told us he still employs the same assistant that they
had. Administrative assistant,
right,
yeah.
When Senator Pinckney was in
yeah.
office.
She worked for him, for Senator mm-hmm. Pinckney originally, and they kept her on the staff, and she's still there today.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Have you had a chance? Have I given you enough time to think about the quartered seal of the city of Aiken?
Well, so I've got three guesses.
Okay, well, it's a quartered, so there are four.
I understand that. And with my Blue Ridge High School education, I knew
okay.
that.
All right.
But unfortunately, I could only come up with three guesses, none of which are going to be correct.
Okay. We'll see. Go ahead.
The first one.
Shall I repeat the question?
Sure,
the city
yeah.
of Aiken seal features a quartered shield with four images on it. What mm-hmm. are the images?
In honor of Rick Osbin, Mayor Osbin, I'm going to guess the first one is an image of a clothes hanger.
You are way off.
Because he owns Osbin Cleaners, of course. Two locations serve you.
This is
one downtown, and then there's another one.
This is not the seal of the Osbin family. This is the seal of the city of Aiken.
Is there an equine in one of those corners?
That is correct.
I'll be doggone.
There's a horse.
Boom.
There's a horse. Well, that was
fantastic.
Fairly easy to figure out.
Well, is the international symbol for nuclear fission in there?
There's an atom.
Close enough. Boom, shakalaka. So
you've
I got two
you've got
of them.
A horse and an atom.
A horse, an atom, not a clothes hanger.
No, there are two other ones.
Is there a roll of textiles in one of those corners?
No.
That would.
Do you want a hint?
Yeah, give me a hint.
There is something that represents your favorite hobby.
Oh, a golf. A golf club.
Yes,
or a
there's a man swinging a golf club.
Really? That's a fairly modern shield, Mr. Producer.
And then the last quarter is a government building.
It's not, okay.
Doesn't it's not a clothes hanger.
It's not a church. That's not a government
building.
That would
be Charleston.
Well, so that's not too bad. I got two out of the four.
I think that's pretty good.
And
I mean,
was able to, yeah.
Yeah, deduce the other.
I'm really I'm disappointed, though, that there wasn't. Well, I guess Aiken was really never a textile. I'm thinking of Graniteville. You know, Graniteville was a
right.
was a textiles hub.
Right.
But it's in the valley. It's not in Aiken proper.
Right.
The
right.
textile
that's,
mills.
That's on the suburbs of the great metropolis
I don't know
of Aiken.
I don't know that anybody would qualify the valley as the suburbs of Aiken, but We could ask Executive Director Todd Glover about that. He's from the Valley. He's a Valley rat, as they refer to themselves. That's right.
Do you have anything else do you want to share? I'm really looking forward to inviting more legislators on. I will tell you this. I had a conversation today with former Senator from Richland County, Joel Lurie.
A co-host of Bourbon in the Back Room, one of our top competitors in the podcast world.
I said, you know, they had Chuck Todd on the show. So let me just say this right now.
And Senator Lurie, if you're listening,
we're gonna have Savannah Guthrie.
I'm not sure between the two of you, anybody got a word in during that show. I'm sure Senator Shaheem didn't even he probably got to say hello and that was it.
I told Senator Lurie that I would love to have him on the show. And he said, well, what about me and Vincent? Have you ever listened to our show? And I said, yeah, like a long time ago. but I told him that we had a really good show. And, you know, even though, like you described it, it's like a niche audience.
Yes.
I told him, I said, you would enjoy listening to my dad on the show because mm-hmm. Senator Lurie's father, sure. Senator Isidore Lurie, was in the Senate and knew a lot of the people that dad was talking about. So I told him to listen. I told him to download on all of our streaming services. And I told him that we're probably the better podcast, but he goes, Casey, we have everybody. And I was like, well, give me a minute. Okay. We're still like a tween. I feel like they're, going to college.
Yeah. I listen to BITBR and the Chuck Toddcast.
Okay.
So I know I'm very familiar with both of those hosts, all three of those hosts. Okay. And again, I'll renew my statement that I'm not sure how either one of them got a word in during the show.
You think they talked over themselves and around themselves?
They talk well. They talk very well, the two of them. So.
Well, Senator Lurie is so is Senator Shaheen. They're very dear friends, old friends of mine. And I would love to, this is an open invitation. I hope y'all will come on the show. we can just talk election politics. Maybe we can make it a regular group. Oof. And then we could stream it on both, we could put it on both podcasts.
That's kind of like a brewery collaboration.
When right, you got we should probably meet somewhere.
One or
and do
more
it.
Breweries
when is
who
your
get
brewery
together
opening?
And collaborate. Beer Keller of Columbia. Not sure when he's going to be open. Scott Burgess and his partners have been working very, very hard for a long, long time to try and get their new location down at Canal Side Solo Station open. I told Mr. Producer that. I went by there and just put my hands up, put my face on the window and looked inside to see how close they
were. Like a sad little puppy looking for a home.
I think what they're waiting on right now is the beer to finish. Scott Burgess is not going to serve a beer before it's time.
Although
I've had some of his, what some people might say, immature beer before, and boy howdy, you wait when it becomes mature, it's even better.
Well, since you have a table at
my
Beer Keller,
table,
can't wait. We can take our equipment and we can podcast live.
100%. It's a four top, so it's perfect size
from Beer Keller when it opens.
And we'll take some photos and we'll all wear our fest garb.
Well, you can do
it'll
that.
It'll be amazing.
I'll just wear clothes
and drink fabulous beer.
Everybody, thanks for listening, and we will catch up with you next week. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.